Praise the Lord. This is Evangelist Julius Adewumi of the Gospel Distribution Ministry. I will want to bring this message today concerning the word that the Lord Jesus Christ gave to us when he said in the book of John, Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 51. I'm just going to read, because there have been different people trying to think this particular discussion that the Lord gave. This is going to be like teaching. In the Gospel of John chapter 8, Father, I pray, Lord, that you give understanding to the hearers concerning this word of God. I will read. This is a discussion between the Lord Jesus Christ and the Jews. From chapter 8, let me read the whole of chapter 8 so that we can see the discussion and the dialogue that was going on. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what say thou? Now we know they are trying to trap the Lord Jesus Christ by bringing this situation before him, because they have heard all the cases that what Jesus Christ was teaching seems to be contrary to what Moses said to them. Because he said, you have heard it is written, but I say unto you. You have heard it is said, but I say unto you. They said, what? This man is trying to change the law. But Christ said he came to fulfill the law. So it is the revelation of the fulfillment that they didn't get. So they thought he was changing the law. Because all the law was pointing to the fact that when the Messiah shall come, they should listen to the Messiah who brought the perfection. But the Jews in that generation didn't understand it. Okay, now let's continue with this story. This they said, tempting him, verse 6, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are those thy accusers? Has no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Now I want to stop right there, because you have to remember many people thought Jesus Christ was condoning sin. He was not condoning sin. He specifically told that woman, go and sin no more. Even he said that he didn't condemn you, does not mean that the woman, if she continued that sin, that she will be accepted. No. If she continued in her sin, she will be going not only going to hell or lake of fire, but even the Jews that couldn't condemn him on that day will come back and grab hold of her, and they won't even bring her before the Messiah this time. They will just stone her. But Christ will say, go and sin no more, because he has come to set us free from sin. Now, he came to set us free from sin, but he has not tried, at this time, he has not gone to the cross yet. After he came to went to the cross, the power to set us free from sin has been unleashed. So that as many as we come to Jesus, he will give you that power to become the sons of God. And that is the power that we call being born again by the Holy Spirit, because he is changing us from within, so that we sin no more. Verse 12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. Now this is the beginning of the confrontation between the Lord Jesus Christ and the Pharisees that were listening to him on that day. Now you have to be, you have to remember, the all the Pharisees were in the temple on that day when they saw this woman that was brought before Jesus, and Jesus Christ let the woman go, and they were already offended. They couldn't say it, but they were already offended by the way the Lord Jesus Christ handled the matter. When he told them that, hey, that is without sin among you, should be the one to first cast the stone, and nobody could raise up their stone against that woman. If he had said, he that has not committed adultery among you, well, somebody would have said, yeah, he has not committed adultery. But he said, he that is without sin, because some people will hide their little sin, which they think is little, and condemn the adulterer, or condemn this other sin, and condemn that other sin. But the little one is not going anywhere either. That is why he that is without sin is what Christ said. Because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Now God is forgiving the whole world freely, so that individually we should come to him individually and accept him as Lord and Savior, so that he can deal with that sin in our soul, in our life, and remove it from us, so that we be new creature in Christ Jesus. No matter what your sin has been or is, Christ is able to remove it from you, so that you become a new creature. All things pass away, all things become new. It doesn't matter what type of sin. It could be the worst sin, it could be the what we think is not worse. But the Bible said anyone that has offended in one of the law has already broken all. If you offend in one, you have offended in all. So no particular sin can be said, well, this one is small, God will just overlook this and allow you into heaven. No, you've got to come through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. So all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But the grace of God has been given to us through the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive us and remove sin from our nature. Everybody that will come to him individually. That is the gospel. That God has given unto us eternal life, and this life is in his Son, Jesus Christ. We are to accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and then we have eternal life. So no matter how small your sin, no matter how big your sin, Christ is the Savior to remove that sin nature from us and give us a new life. Now, like I was saying, the Pharisees, when they were there watching this episode, they were already offended. So whatever the Lord Jesus said right now, they were confronting him. They said, you are speaking about yourself, your record is not true. And Jesus Christ answered them in verse 14. He said, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go. But ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, where is thy Father? Jesus answered, ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. Now this was spake Jesus in the treasury, as he taught in the temple, and no man lay hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Because he said, whither I go, ye cannot come. And he said unto them again, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Now, they are going to ask him, who are you talking about now? Then said they unto him, who art thou? And Jesus said unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. Now he said what the Lord was referring to was in verse 12 when he said, I am the light of the world. They know that the Messiah whom they were expecting is to be the light of the world. And Jesus Christ said, I am the light of the world, declaring himself to be the Messiah. And they were saying, well, your record is not true. You are bearing record of yourself. But he said, my record is true. And he said, that's what I told you from the beginning. If you don't believe that I am he, if you don't believe that I am the Messiah, that's what he was talking about. If they do not believe that he is the light of the world, then he said they will die in their sin. He said, I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he speak to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father has taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. And as he speak these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believe on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now they answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committed sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word has no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your Father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that has told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they unto him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Now the Jews are trying to say Abraham is our father. The Jews that were listening on that, they didn't believe Jesus Christ. They were trying to say Abraham is our father, and they say even God is our father. Now Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. He said, why do you not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Now Jesus Christ was trying to dissociate them from Abraham when they said Abraham was their father. And he actually pointed out what he was really referring to, say that God is, if God were your father, you would have loved me, but you are doing the works of your father in trying to kill him, the Messiah. Now he now expressed plainly when he's talking, said your father, the devil. Anyone that is doing the work of the devil for him, he is the son of the devil. He said, you have your father the devil, and the works of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. Now the Jews continued and said, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my father, and ye do dishonor me. And I speak not my own glory. I seek not my own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verse 51. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Now, Jesus Christ told in this Bible verse, this truth, in all this discourse, he told them, after he has discussed them and told them that they have their father the devil, and they were trying to say he was a Samaritan, and he has a devil, and he said, I don't have a devil. But they were now told that if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Now, sent the Jews unto him. He said, now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets. And thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead? And the prophets are dead. Who makest thou thyself? Now that was the bias I'm trying to point us to in this exhortation. The legislator said, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. He was trying to tell them who he is. And they were saying, well, Abraham died. Abraham is already dead. The prophets are dead. Who makes that thyself by saying that if a man keep your saying, you will never see death? Now, Jesus Christ did not refute what he said. He didn't withdraw what he said because he meant what he said and he said what he meant. That if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Now, people in our generation have thought this Bible verse 51 was only referring to spiritual death. Now, you have to know that they are not discussing spiritual death here in this chapter of 8 of Gospel of John, verse 51 and 52, 53. They were not discussing spiritual death because they were asked, they were telling the Lord Jesus Christ, Abraham is dead. And the Lord already told that Abraham was not spiritually dead. Abraham was dead physically, but he is in a place where God can see him because God, the Lord Jesus Christ told them that all live unto God, all live unto him. When he said, your father Abraham saw my day and he saw it and was glad. And another place when the Sadducees came to talk to ask Jesus about resurrection, they said, in the resurrection, who is going to be the husband of this woman that seven men have married, and the woman that none of them have an issue? And Jesus Christ said, they do it because they did not know the power of God. And he said, in the resurrection, they shall neither marry nor give in marriage. And the Lord Jesus Christ also said that all live unto God. Which means Abraham is alive, his soul is alive somewhere, and God can still see where he's at in paradise. Even though the body is resting in the grave, he is in paradise waiting for the resurrection. Now, when the Lord Jesus Christ said over here that if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death, and they were saying Abraham is dead, they are talking of physical death of Abraham, that who make thou thyself? Jesus Christ didn't try to reverse what he said. He told them, he said, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, in whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I have known him. If I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. Then your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Now that is verse 56. Now you have to now say, was he referring to Abraham long time ago, or was he referring to Abraham now that Abraham was even in paradise? Because these two things, the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, he can be referring to Abraham in paradise, seeing, being given a vision of seeing when the Messiah came upon the earth, and he will still rejoice. The Lord Jesus Christ could be referring to that Abraham saw my day. You could also be referring to when he visited Abraham in thousands of years before, when Abraham gave good food to the Lord and two angels that before they went to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. You see, the Lord could be referring to any of those two things. But you have to also remember, like Bible said, his going forth has been from of old, from everlasting. So when he manifested to Abraham and with two angels and they ate with Abraham, before they went to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham saw his day. Even if it is right then, when he was preaching to them, like he brought the Moses and Elijah to the mountain of transfiguration, and they spoke with him on the mountain of transfiguration. We know that Elijah is still alive, he didn't die. People thought Moses perhaps died, but you see, God could have just taken Moses in a supernatural way without him physically dying. That's what I believe. But the Bible said God buried him. Let's just leave it as that. God buried him on the mountain. But he appeared with Elijah on the mountain of transfiguration. And so they also saw his day. What do you mean by they saw his day? They saw him when he was walking around in Galilee. So Abraham could also have seen his day like that, where he saw him from paradise. Because people in paradise can be shown the vision of what's going on right here upon earth. And they will rejoice that this is some of the fruit of their labor when they were on earth. So when Jesus Christ said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad, he could refer to that one in paradise now, or he could be referring to when he visited Abraham as a theophany with the two angels that went to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. But God was saying, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see them, because he has the power to keep anybody alive physically. That is what this Bible verse in chapter 8 of Gospel of John, verse 51, was alluding to. because they were telling him about the physical death of Abraham and the prophets, and say, "Who maketh thou thyself?" But he didn't withdraw what he was saying, because he meant physical death. Why? Because it is Christ that is going to resurrect anybody. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life." Remember that. I am the resurrection and the life. In Gospel of John chapter 11, Jesus Christ said, "I am the resurrection and the life." That means those who resurrect on this planet, it is Christ that is going to resurrect them, number one. And after they resurrect and they are to live and never die again, it is Christ in us that is going to keep us alive forever, never to die. And that is what the Bible is talking about. Yeah, let me repeat it to you again. Gospel of, in the Epistle of John. First Epistle of John, chapter 5. Apostle John referred to this in verse 10 and said, "He that believeth on the Son of God has the witness in himself. He that believeth not God has made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record," verse 11, "this is the record that God has given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son." That is, God has given to us eternal life, but this life is in his Son. That is, it is Jesus Christ in us that is going to give eternal life. Anybody is going to live forever and never see death after they are resurrected on in the end, last day. It is Christ that is going to keep them alive. Christ in us. That's what Christ said. He said, "I will raise them up at the last day." It is Christ in us. And that's why the Apostle John was saying, God has given unto us eternal life, but this life is in his Son. He that has the Son has life. When we have Christ in us right now, we already have that eternal life. And this body is going to quicken our mortal body in the final end, so that we never die again. Those who are resurrected at the end, he is going to resurrect the saints of God. He said, "I will raise them up at the last day," and he also going to be the one living in them, so that they will live forever and never die anymore. That is what the Lord was alluding to. He is the resurrection and the life. Resurrection for those who are going to resurrect, at the end, and life for those to keep those who are resurrected alive forever. In Gospel of John chapter 11, he was talking to Martha in verse 25. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believeth thou this?" Now, that Bible verse in John chapter 11, verse 25 and 26, compare that to John chapter 8, verse 51, Jesus Christ was telling us something here, that he is able to keep us alive. What is keeping Elijah the prophet alive? That he is gone away and never, and still not, never not dead. It is power of God also. What is keeping our predecessor Enoch alive? That we obviously God took him, that he should not see dead. God was giving us those two examples to show to us that he has power, not only that he has the power to keep us alive, he planned that human beings will live and never die. Until the fall of Adam, God didn't intend death for human beings. Now, if God didn't intend death for human beings, it was only pronounced upon human race because of the fall, the sin of Adam. Now, Christ has come to redeem us. Don't you think that if he has redeemed us, he should redeem us, he has redeemed us back to all that Adam lost? Part of what Adam lost is that physical glory that should keep him alive. And that is what Christ is bringing back to us. That's why he's saying, "A man keep my saying, he shall never see death." So when we keep his saying, when we come back and line up with him, he said we will get that immortality that Adam lost. He is going to give it to us back again. That is what he's telling us, and it's Christ that is going to give it. So for anybody to think what John chapter 8 verse 51 is talking about is not physical death, then you are not believing Christ. You are not believing the gospel. Because the gospel says Christ has come to redeem us back to the Garden of Eden, back to what Adam lost. And Adam lost the glory of God. That is what the Bible said, "All have sinned are coming short of the glory of God." Now God is returning that glory back to us. And how is he going to return it? By first removing sin, the sin nature from our life. And when sin is dealt with, all the repercussions of sin also should go with sin. So Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Sicknesses, diseases, and our eventual death also have been dealt with. Christ has abolished death. That is what Apostle Paul was saying in 2 Timothy Second Timothy chapter 1, verse 10. So what we are saying then is, the Lord has come to redeem us, to bring us back to what Adam lost. And the lost estate of Adam is part of what, not just the physical Garden of Eden, I'm talking of his, the, what he lost in his body that made him to die. He said, the day that thou eatest of this tree, thou shalt surely die. That was one day with the Lord God is 1,000 years. That was why Adam did not clock 1,000 years, because that day that he did it, he died in that one day, in that 1,000th year. That was all the children of Adam except Enoch. All of them died under 1,000 years. They never clocked 1,000. The longest one is 969 years, which was Methuselah. But the Lord God has come to redeem us, and he has redeemed us and restored us back to that glory that what Adam lost, the glory of God that we lost, he wanted to restore it to us. And he has paid for it. Now it's for us to get it back into our body system. Our spirit has been redeemed, but we are waiting for the redemption of our body, as Apostle Paul said. He said, not only the old creation that is groaning, but we ourselves are groaning within ourselves, waiting for the redemption of our body. And that redemption of our body is all that we are waiting for. In the book of Romans chapter 8, from verse 19, it says, for the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. And this is the age when the sons of God are going to manifest, and we are the sons of God. At the same time, the Lord Jesus Christ has said, he has given unto us power to become sons of God. And these sons of God are going to manifest the glory of God first. This glory God is restoring us back to, where we shall never see physical death. This is the glory God is talking about that is restoring back to us. And he said, the whole creature is waiting for that manifestation of the sons of God. In verse 20 of Romans chapter 8, he said, for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who was subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to wit the redemption of our body. So we are waiting for the redemption of our body. That's what Apostle Paul is saying. God is going to redeem this physical body so that we never see physical death. And the Bible also says in another place that the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. That is the physical death. So God is saying this is the age where he's preaching, telling us to preach it, that he has abolished death and he's bringing us back to that glory that Adam lost. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10, Apostle Paul was talking about Christ, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. So in short, Christ has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. You may say, well, he's talking about some other form of death. No, he's talking about physical death here. When you talk about immortality, what do you think of? Immortality is only granted, applicable to those who are mortal men. So Christ has brought immortality to light. Means he's bringing immortality to focus for us who are mortal men, that we can get immortality back from him. And that's why Apostle Paul was saying Christ has abolished death and he has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. So that's what we are preaching to you. Christ has brought immortality back to us, that we can claim it, just like he has brought freedom from sin. And he's saying we can claim that immortality back, but you have to aspire to this goal. Aspire to the goal of overcomers. He said, the just shall live by faith. I pray that the Lord will burn this exhortation into your heart, and I will continue this in the next broadcast.
This is Gospel Distribution Ministry. Box 71027, Phoenix, Arizona, 85050. On the internet, it's www.gospeldistribution.org. Join us again next week. God bless you.